Question: how do we reconcile conflicts in scientific knowledge and scriptural knowledge? Answer: by understanding that science and scripture are describing reality at different scales of observation. I'll answer this question in three parts. First, I will talk about the levels of observation. Then second, I'll talk about instrumentalism in science. And thirdly, I'll talk about correlating or reconciling scientific and scriptural knowledge with this background understanding. First is the levels of knowledge. From the scriptural perspective, the material world is a manifestation of God's supreme intelligence. And God is not just a creator, but He is the supreme artist. An artist can bring in meanings in a work of art at multiple levels. So, just as if we take some work of Shakespeare or some great poet, then the sentence which is spoken in that conversation can be understood at the level of the immediate context, can be understood in the context of the broad drama, can be understood at the level of life, can be understood at the level of the culture that existed at that particular time when Shakespeare wrote that particular drama. So, the point is that within art, the same sentence can be understood at multiple levels. And so a frustrated character might say, "Leave me alone." And this is a very crude and simple example. Now, "leave me alone" can just be a straightforward statement. Okay, just leave me alone. Or if that's somewhere near the climax of the drama and the author is a person who is an existentialist, then "leave me alone" might be a philosophical conclusion of that particular person, where he is saying that actually relationships are the source of conflicts, and by staying alone one can avoid conflicts. So it's a very crude example, but my point is that within art and literature there can be multiple levels of meaning, and those who are well read in literature can easily relate with this point. So even within the Vedic context itself, the idea that there can be multiple levels of understanding of the universe is well known. For example, we see in scriptures also, the great Acharyas explain that the same sentence can mean different things at different levels. For example, it's called Vyajastuti, whereas say a demon is, or say Indra in the Govardhan Leela is criticizing Krishna. But then at a deeper level of understanding, that criticism is also a form of praise. The word just, if the words are taken together in different combinations, then the same criticism can be seen as praise. Panditamaninaha. That, so Indra is saying that Krishna thinks that he is a big pandit. But the same word panditamaninaha can also mean that he is respected even by the pandits. Even the pandits give him mana. So now this is not just a matter of language in literature, but it is also a fact within nature as far as the Vedic perspective is concerned. Within the Vedic culture, there are two ways of looking at nature. There is the Jyotisha way of looking at the universe. Jyotisha Shastras, Siddhanta Shastras are there. And there is the Puranic way of looking at the universe. So in the Puranas see the world from the God's eye perspective, whereas the Vedas see the world from the human perspective. And even within modern science and everyday experience, we understand this point of different scales of observation. When we look at a piece of charcoal, it is a black lump of matter in a particular shape, and a chalk is a white lump of matter in a particular shape. We ground both of them together, we get grey powder. Now, it is grey powder to our vision, but if you look at it under a microscope, we see it as white and black particles. So what is it really? Is it grey powder or is it white and black? There are different scales of observation reveal different things. So the point is that both from the scriptural perspective as well as the observational or scientific perspective, the idea of things being seen differently at different scales of observation is well understood. Now coming to an important point with respect to scientific knowledge. Now within science, throughout the history of science, at the time of Newton, science was known as natural philosophy, not science. The word science came much later in the 18th century approximately. So Newton, when he came up with his theory of gravitation, at that time the predominant idea was that forces could act only through contact. So Leibniz and other scientists of his time, other natural philosophers of his time, they questioned Newton, how can you explain, how can you account for the idea of forces acting through empty space? And Newton had no answer. He basically replied that I am giving a mathematical formulation which describes observed phenomena in an accurate way. And that was true. But as far as their ontological cause is concerned, as far as what this force actually is, he had no answer to that. So the point here, Newton itself is pointing to a two-level approach within science. This is called as realism and instrumentalism. Realism means the idea that what science reveals to us is reality. And instrumentalism is that whatever entities and principles science proposes, they are just instruments for us to make sense and make predictions about the way nature works, to make sense of our observations and to make predictions about how things will work in the future. Now, whether that is actually reality or not, that is unknown. So, to understand this concept of instrumentalism, so it leads to a fundamental question. What is the nature of the scientific enterprise? Are scientists like, say, excavators who dig below the earth and find out artifacts which are already existing and they just have to be dug up and found out? So are scientists in that sense discovering pre-existing facts, or are they interpreting what their findings according to certain theories, and those theories are basically impositions of their mind on nature which may or may not correspond with reality? To take this into a more specific example, now science uses instruments. So when a calculator is used, what the calculator reveals is something, or the results that a calculator gives is something which we can also do by our own means, independent of the calculator. So it may take us more time, and that's why we may choose to use a calculator, but we can do multiplication, addition. So in that sense, we know from our experience that the calculator is giving us a truth that we already know to be true from our own experience. But when we look through a microscope or a telescope, what the microscope or a telescope show is not necessarily something which we can see independent of the microscope or the telescope. Therefore, the question arises that is the function of a microscope or telescope just like a calculator, that it is revealing truths which are already existing, or is it also interpreting according to pre-existing conceptions? So, another example to illustrate this, we'll return to the example of microscope or telescope. Now, for example, since the time of Newton, it is known that when a ray of light is passed through a prism, it diffuses into seven colors. So now, is the prism revealing the true nature of light, or is it distorting the nature of light? Does light originally contain seven colors? And through the passage of this prism, now the prism is like an instrument, the passage of the prism, the seven colors are revealed within it. Or is it that because of the passage of the light through this prism, at that time certain distortion happens, and what we get out of light, what we get out of the prism, is not necessarily light per se. It is light which is distorted. So the seven colors are not light in its pure nature. They are the distortions of light. Now we may have a pre-existing theoretical conception which considers light to be a part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and so we may argue that it contains the seven colors. But then this goes further. This simply points that we use a particular instrument, and that reveals results that correspond with our theoretical conceptions. So that means that when we have certain theoretical conceptions, and instruments that we use confirm those theoretical conceptions, then often the instruments are designed in ways to confirm the theoretical conceptions itself. So therefore, the question begs itself, you know, are the instruments just confirming our theories, or are the instruments revealing reality? Now, the reason this question becomes all the more critical when we recognize that there are many examples within science where certain things seem to be confirmed by instrumental verification, and yet later they were proved to be false. The most dramatic example of this is Newtonian physics, which held sway for over 200 years. And subsequently it was found, especially with Einstein's relativity, that actually Newtonian physics has its limits. So, I'm giving an example of instrumentalism with instruments. But instrumentalism in science as instrumentalism is far more fundamental a subject. And today it has become all the more critical a discussion, because physics, which is considered to be the most fundamental of all sciences, is currently divided into two camps, which are essentially irreconcilable. So, these two great theories in physics are quantum physics and relativity. So, both in their own ways work, but both are violently contradictory and impossible to reconcile. Steven Weinberg has said that the more we study, we have made a lot of progress, but we have gone further and further away from the solution, not closer to it. You can read the article on this website, Science Too Short to Rope the Universe, to get a clearer idea of the problems and how scientists have admitted that these problems seem to be irreconcilable. So, now both theories work, but the propositions of the two theories are fundamentally different. Einstein in relativity proposes that matter is foundationally made of particles, whereas quantum physics ultimately proposes that it's just waves. And matter at its fundamental level can either be particles or it can be waves. It cannot be both. But what is it actually? No one can know as of now. The idea is that it has a dual, somebody may say that it has a dual nature, but what does that mean? How do we conceive of it? If a nature, if science is meant to give us a picture of reality that we cannot have by normal means, then the picture of reality that comes from science is incomprehensible. We just cannot visualize it. That's why a famous scientist said that science, especially quantum physics, is not only queerer than what we think, it is queerer than what we can even what we can think. So it is profoundly mysterious. So because both work, quantum physics and relativity, and both are irreconcilable, So gradually, at least at a functional level and even at a conceptual level, many scientists are moving towards an instrumental approach of in science. That means both these theories are instruments for understanding the functioning of nature at a particular level. So Einsteinian relativity helps us, is an instrument for making helping us make sense of bodies which are large. So at the cosmic level, we see Einstein's relativity theory working. And at the level of subatomic particles, we see it is the instrument that is used to make sense of that universe, that level of nature is quantum physics. So by its own developments, science has been forced to move towards an instrumental attitude towards its findings, not a realist attitude. That means that what science reveals, even if it works, is not reality per se. It is an instrumental attitude, it is an instrumental conception which functions. So, going back to the first point now, first point was that there can be meetings at different levels. So from the Vedic perspective, God is the supreme designer of the world, and he has created the world in such a way that it encodes meanings at various levels. So science is stumbling upon, after great research and endeavor, at particular levels of meaning within that universe. So, because it is stumbling at particular levels of meaning, in that sense it works, and in that sense it's valid. But it has not reached the deepest level of meaning. And that's why it cannot exhaust the complete understanding of the universe that can actually be had. It is not given as an absolute or a final reality. So the scriptural knowledge gives us a vision of the universe from God's perspective, in the God's eye view. So that is, you could say, the deepest level of understanding this nature. So, but in this way, by understanding that science has that there are multiple levels of meaning, and that science itself stumbles upon two levels of meanings which cannot be reconciled, thereby indicating that what science is revealing is not an absolute reality, but a conception of reality at a particular level. And then by understanding that God is, the scriptures are giving us knowledge at the deepest level of interpretation, at the most fundamental level, from the God's eye perspective, we can understand that science and scripture are not necessarily irreconcilable. They are functioning at different levels of understanding.